The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You're listening to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of RedLegNation.com.
Here we are at Red Leg Nation, and we at Red Leg Nation are very proud to announce our newest spotlight player, Tucker Barnhart of the Dayton Dragons. Tucker, welcome to Red Leg Nation, and thanks for joining us today.
Bill, thank you very much for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about yourself personally. You were born in Brownsburg, just outside Indianapolis, correct?
Yes, sir.
Did you grow up a Reds fan?
You know, a lot of people ask me that. It's hard being from Indianapolis to follow a Major League Baseball team. I mean, being the fact that we don't have anything there but the AAA affiliate of the Pirates, the Indians. You got the Cubs, in the north, and then you got the Reds, obviously, down to the east. For me growing up, it was more about following players, and so I really tried to watch players, not necessarily watch a team, but just to follow players and pattern my game after certain players.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because if you'd have said you grew up a Cubs fan, we might have had to rethink this spotlight player idea. Yeah. So who were the players that you really liked watching coming as you were growing up? See, I'm much older than you. In fact, I thought about this last night after we talked at the Dragons game, and you're 2 months older than my son. So, I remember when the AAA team for the Reds was in Indianapolis. So, you know, my guess is maybe your dad might have been a Reds fan.
My uncle is a huge Reds fan. He grew up a Reds fan and loved them ever since.
Yeah, he probably remembers when the AAA team was in Indianapolis.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell me about the players that you enjoyed watching and followed growing up.
I'm a switch hitter, obviously, and I basically started switch hitting because of Chipper Jones. I followed Chipper Jones for forever, and I had a couple posters in my room of Chipper Jones. I loved watching him hit, and I still do to this day. Let's see, from a catching aspect, I really like watching Pudge catch. I mean, arguably, other than in my opinion, Johnny Bench, probably arguably the best catcher to ever play the game. So he's a good guy to follow and to pattern your game after if you're a catcher.
Well, you talk about switch hitters. You know, the Reds had a pretty good switch hitter a while back, too. Hopefully, at some point, you'll get a chance to meet him. His name's Pete Rose. You might have heard of him.
Yeah, you might have heard of that guy. he was pretty good.
I want to talk to you a little bit more about Bench later on in the interview, but how old were you when you started playing baseball?
Oh, Bill, as soon as I could walk, I think I played. I would say anywhere from 3 or 4 years, probably 3 years old, I was playing baseball. It's funny that you asked that. There's a picture of me when, I couldn't have been more than a year old. I'm laying in a crib, and I got a baseball glove on my hand. So, it's been in my blood, and I've been around it since I can remember.
Did you play other sports growing up?
I did. I played a little bit of basketball. I played a little bit of football. I stopped playing basketball when everybody started growing up, and I really didn't grow up that much.
So I don't forget to ask you later. Let's talk a little bit about your size right now. You're not a real big guy. Do you see that as a hindrance to you, or are there advantages to being shorter than some of the other guys? You know, the other catchers.
I've always been a smaller guy. I mean, I've always played up age groups. When I was 11, I was playing against 13 and 14 year old guys, and I've always been a smaller guy. So I've gotten used to it. I mean, as a catcher, I mean, in my opinion, I think obviously it might be a little bit of a biased opinion, but I think it can only help me. I mean, I think the catching position starting to get back to a more of a defensive oriented position. Not that the Joe Mauers and the Andy Krasinskis of the game now are just tearing it up, but I mean, I feel like the guys like Carlos Ruiz, the guys like Ryan Hannigan, the guys like Russell Martin, the smaller type guys, more defensive oriented guys. I think the teams are starting to rely on those guys more, and I think that. It only helps me. It takes the wear and tear off my knees from not being 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and having to squat and stand up every single time and put all that wear and tear on my knees. I think I have a smaller range where I got to go and stand up and sit down and squat and do all kinds of things. So I think it helps me. I don't think in any way of the game does it hurt me.
You won the Mr. Indiana Baseball Award in 2009. Tell us a little bit about winning that award and what it meant to you.
It's a big honor. I mean, growing up, and you hear about Scott Rowland. I mean, Scott Rowland won the award. Guys like Adam Lind. I mean, they're both in the big leagues now. Obviously, Scott Rowland's been there forever, and Adam Lind is going to be there for a long time. So, I mean, it really means a lot. Guys like AJ Zapp. I mean, have won the award. AJ didn't quite make it to the big leagues with the Reds, but he was in Louisville at the time. It was a big award for me. I mean, it means a lot, and I really just took it as a very humbling experience.
Did you have a chance to talk to Scott Rowland in spring training about the award at all?
Not about the award. I did. It was a pretty cool. It was one of the cooler things that's ever happened to me. I caught bullpen. I ended up playing in a few big league games and going to. A good amount of big league games and everything, and one day they called me over to catch bullpens, and I stretched with the big league team, and we were done throwing, and I was getting ready to walk over to the bullpen, and Scott Rowland came over and introduced himself to me. I mean, and that just to me was a really cool thing. Just growing up watching Scott Rowland play, and playing in actually the same summer organization that Scott. This guy played on the first actual team to ever play in that sort of summer organization. They're just a really, really cool experience for me and something I'll never forget.
Before the draft, you had signed to play at Georgia Tech. Tell us about the process you went through when you were drafted by the Reds and deciding what direction you wanted to take with your career and like that.
The draft is a very hectic experience, and so is choosing a school that you want. That if the draft doesn't work out, that you want to end up at. It's a very, very hectic experience. But it's something I'll never forget. I mean, it was I could have been in a lot worse situation to choose from, whether to go to play baseball at Georgia Tech or to sign with whomever. And in this case, it was the Reds. I felt like it was the right thing to do. I got drafted in the 10th round on the third day of the draft, and I was actually sitting in a buddy's basement playing some cards. And I got a phone call from my agent telling me that the Reds were going to draft me, and it was just another very humbling experience. And just finally realizing that something I worked for all my life, and every time I step on a baseball field, it's actually starting to take shape and come to form and come true. So it was, like I said, a very humbling experience, and another thing that I'll never forget.
How old were you? I mean, how old were you? What grade were you in when you realized you had a chance to play pro ball?
I would say my junior year of high school, it really started to come to me that I had a chance. I'd always played on the Indiana Bulls, which is one of the better travel organizations in Indiana, and we'd go all over the country and play different guys from different parts of the country and even the world. And I mean, just getting to see how I compete against those guys
and how I fare against those guys. Just really kind of put it in perspective for me. Now, I mean, come and going, I mean, you never know what, I mean, baseball's a crazy sport, and you never know what's going to happen. So, really, and I started to come to me that, I mean, I made it, I had a chance when I was a junior, but it really, really didn't come to me that I was going to have an opportunity to play pro baseball until my senior year, just because there's so many crazy things in baseball that could happen, and I didn't want to take anything for granted.
When you did sign with the Reds, we covered that a little bit, and your contract had to go to the commissioner's office. Why was that?
I ended up getting paid over slot.
Oh, okay.
The position that I was drafted, and every over slot guy that is, or any guy that is drafted that's paid over slot, they have to go to the commissioner's office, and the commissioner's office has to okay that amount that the guy is being assigned for.
All right. After many, many years of this organization being catching poor, it's got quality catching galore right now. We got two number one picks and a number four pick that are kind of higher in the organization than you are right now. Do you think about this kind of thing, or do you just kind of have to concentrate on your own development and then let things kind of fall as they may?
My first year, I paid attention to it. And I've learned as I've grown up the last 2 years playing pro baseball from that first year, just to not pay attention to it. I mean, you can't, in my opinion, you can't pay attention to anybody else. I mean, you've got to go out and, on a daily basis and compete and control what you can control. I mean, you have to play well in order to move up in this organization and any organization for that matter. And I've got to go out on a daily basis and perform and, like I said, control what I can control, and everything will just happen like it's supposed to happen.
Tell us what you think the strongest part of your game is right now, and what you need to work on to continue to move up.
For me, I've always pride myself on how I catch. I've always tried to go the extra mile to tweak anything I can defensively, to fix it, to make it better. To do whatever I can to get better defensively as a catcher. I think the strongest aspect of my catching right now is the way I can handle pitch death. I mean, they're going to have the confidence in me that I'm going to block balls, if they want to throw that 3-2 slider in the dirt with the guy on third base that could win the game, that it's going to get blocked and they can throw that. To work on, I think I just need to keep swinging, just keep taking swings and keep getting more consistent on both sides of the plate. I feel like I'm a little bit further along left-handed, just because I've had so many more at-bats left-handed than right-handed. But it's coming. And like I said, I just need to just keep getting more and more consistent.
I've already heard, and I saw you play for the first time last night. We got a chance to meet before the game last night. You've got a pretty phenomenal arm. I think you threw out two guys last night and two guys the night before, I believe. So I think you're 4-for-4 on the year throwing out base runners. Is there something, do you specifically work on your arm, or is this something that God kind of blessed you with?
I think it's a little bit of both. I try and take care of it as much as possible. In the off season, I try not to do very much throwing, just because of how many, I mean, come February 18th, and from in my case, because I get down to spring training early, I throw just about every day, and I mean I try to take as much time off of my arm as I can, and that helps me just to keep it strong throughout the season. But on the other side of it, I think I just was blessed with a pretty good arm. The way I use my arm, I mean I use a lot of my legs. I think that takes a lot of wear and tear off my arm, off my shoulder, off my elbow. And I think that being a littler guy, I can't just rely on just my arm. I have to use my whole body, and I think I do a pretty good job of that.
Do you have any concern, going back to your size again, and I don't want to keep dwelling on this because I'm sure you get tired of answering these kind of questions, but how do you answer the questions about your durability in a 140-game schedule? You know, I mean, they're not expecting you to catch 140 games, but I'm assuming you've never played a schedule that long before.
No, I haven't, but I feel like the time and the effort that I put in the weight room and everything that I in the off season to prepare myself for spring training and for the season. I think I've done enough, and I feel great coming into this campaign, and I'm ready to keep it rolling. And I don't think there should, in my opinion, there shouldn't be any questions about my durability, because I feel like I can go out on a daily basis, be consistent, and just keep giving you the same thing every single day. The consistency from both sides of the plate, right-handed and left-handed, and definitely behind the plate.
We talked a few weeks ago with Devin Masuraco. And he talked about he works a lot on his legs and his hips, I think he told us, in the off season in the weight room. Do you stress those also?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, he hit it right on the head. I mean, there's probably not one leg workout that you can come up with that I didn't do this off season or that I haven't done. I mean, it's huge. You can't get your legs strong enough to be for the catching position, and definitely your hips. I mean, It really, Sean Marone, our minor league strength coordinator, really stressed to me last spring training about hips and hip strength and everything, and it's really hit home with me, and it's really helped me become a better catcher. I feel like I've got a better stance behind the plate, and from strengthening my hips and strengthening my legs, and I owe a lot of my successes to Sean and to his staff.
Let's talk about your first year in the Reds organization. You got a little bit of taste of the old dreaded Gulf Coast League. Playing that noon heat is a lot of fun down there, isn't it?
It's rough. It really is. It's tough playing. It's tough playing in August in Florida in the heat and at noon and in front of no people and everything. But it gets you working a little bit harder, just because you don't want to repeat that. You don't want to go back. And a lot of that, seeing that, the kind of thing, and seeing the ballpark and rookie ball and everything. And I haven't seen any in low A or whatnot, but I was fortunate enough to play in a few big league games this spring training, like I said, and it just gives you that little extra drive just to show you that, I mean, it gets better as you go up and you want to get there.
You had a good season your second year in Billings. Your offensive numbers were good. Your throwing, you know, you threw out basically, you threw 51% of the guys running against you. You had 8 pass balls in 35 games. Is that a high number? I mean, are you happy with that number, or do you want to? I mean, you always want to drop it, but I mean, is that a reasonable number for that many games?
For me, no. I'm stubborn when it comes to that stuff. Like you said, you always want to drop it, but for me, dropping that is a reasonable goal for me. And I've, like I said earlier, I've always prided myself on the way I catch and defend, and the way I defend and block balls and stuff. And 8 for me was too many. And I've come up with a couple goals this spring training or this season that I want to reach, and I feel like they're good goals for me.
Were you happy with your season in Billings?
I was happy. I mean, by no means was I satisfied. I was happy with it and glad with the way I played, but I feel like I can get better. And there were some things last year that I've fixed and really worked on this off season and this spring training, and I feel like I'm gonna have another good year.
Tell us a little bit about your summer in Billings. I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures and talked to a lot of guys. It seems like a nice place to spend a summer, kind of getting used to playing professional baseball.
It definitely is. In that league, in the Pioneer League, there's a few places that you not necessarily dread going, but you see on the schedule and you're like, man, we got to go back there. But we were pretty spoiled in Billings, that's for sure. It was a nice place, definitely a very nice place for rookie ball, and the people out there in the city and at the stadium and everything, they were wonderful.
And now you're a Dayton Dragon, and we're a couple of games into the season, and tell us about your initial impressions of the Dragons, the whole atmosphere at Fifth Third Field, the organization after a couple of games.
Yeah, I mean the atmosphere is unbelievable. This is the first time I've played in front of 8,000 to 10,000 people, and it's been a blast. It really has. The people in the Dragons organization that work at the stadium, from the grounds crew to the front office people, I mean, they're awesome. I mean, I haven't really gotten to talk to them very much, but from the times that I have, I mean, they've been nothing but great, and they've worked with everybody, and they're putting on a great show here.
Yeah, when the Reds had their high A team in Sarasota, and you know they draw 300 people a game, I often ask players, you know, how difficult is it to make the transition going from Dayton, where you're playing in front of 8,000 people, to going to high A, where you're playing in front of 300 people or, you know, 1,000 people on a good night? It has to be kind of difficult for the players. But anyway, tell us a little bit about your I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
Tell us a little bit about your manager. This is your second year with Delino DeShields. What does he expect from you, from a player?
He expects you to play hard. He told us this in spring training, and he told us this when we got to Dayton. He said that I'm going to be one of the easiest guys you played for, but I only ask one thing. I asked that you're on time, and I asked that you play hard and you give me everything you've got, and that's about it really. And if you work hard and if you play the game the right way and respect the game, he's an unbelievable coach, he's an unbelievable manager. Some of the information you can get from him and the guy and Tony Fossas and Alex Fly is priceless. The situations that they've been in and seen, I mean, there's not a baseball situation that one of those three guys hasn't been a part of, and it's an awesome experience to be around those guys.
You guys have kind of taken it on the chin the first couple games. I read in the paper today that he held a meeting already. Can you talk about that a little bit, or is that just a clubhouse thing that you really don't want to talk about?
It was a very vague meeting. I mean, one of those meetings that everybody has. I mean, just to relax. I mean, we're a young team, and just keep fighting. Basically, is what he said in a nutshell. I mean, it was very quick. I mean, it wasn't a put his foot down meeting. It was just to relax and just keep playing and not panic.
It wasn't a lack of effort meeting. It was a maybe calm you down a little bit meeting.
Yeah, basically.
Does he have a style in terms of the way he manages?
We really run. We ran in Billings. We've ran so far here in Dayton when we've had guys on base, and it's a very get off the field kind of thing, and he's a very exciting manager. He's gonna keep you out of your head if you're a fan just because of all the intensity.
Do you set personal goals for the season?
I do. I always set some goals, just some short term goals for myself, and for on a monthly basis or whatnot, to the long term goals for the season and everything. And I feel like it's a great thing to do, and it gives you just a little bit another challenge, just to challenge you even more to get to those goals.
Do you want to share those, or do you want to keep those to yourself?
I keep myself, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine. Absolutely, I understand. And you're in a little bit more in the minors. Tell us about the best thing you found about life playing in minor league baseball.
Just some of the stories that you have to take home, to tell your parents, tell your friends and your family and everything. It's just stories that you're never going to forget, and that nobody really else in the world have that opportunity to tell those stories.
What's the worst thing about playing in the minor leagues?
It's hard for me to come up with a thing that is the worst thing about playing in a minor league, just because I love the game of baseball so much that, I mean, there's nothing really better that I could be doing right now. I mean, but I would some of the bus trips, they are fun. I mean, we had in Billings last year, we had a 16-hour bus ride from Billings from Orem, Utah to Billings, Montana. I mean, that's not fun. But if the worst thing about it is a long bus ride, then that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. What's been the biggest surprise to you about playing professional baseball?
I mean, I haven't really been surprised. I mean, I was thankful enough to be around guys in high school and be around guys that I played with in the summer that had been around guys that had played in professional baseball, and actually played for a guy I played for a guy that was the bench coach with the Cardinals when they won the World Series, and I got a lot of priceless information to bring with me to professional baseball, so I really haven't been caught off guard or surprised with anything.
Okay, let's get back to something that came up before. Did you get the chance to meet Johnny Bench while you were in Arizona?
I did. He took my hand and walked me catch a little bit. It was pretty cool.
Did he give you any pointers? And
no, he really didn't. He came over and just asked to see my glove and put my glove on his hand and gave it back to me, and that was it. It was very quick, but nonetheless, it was pretty cool to have him around.
Yeah, that'd be pretty amazing to get a chance to talk to somebody who was pretty much renowned as being the best that ever played the game at their position.
Absolutely.
How confident are you that you'll make the big leagues?
I feel like you have to have carry a quiet arrogance in this game, or you'll be done very quickly. I mean, everybody's going to tell you that they're very confident that they're going to make the big leagues, and I mean, I truly believe it. I feel like if I continue to catch the way that I can catch and just continue to develop my bat, I think that there's no doubt in my mind that I'll be able to play in the big leagues.
Do you have a plan? I mean, do you plan to play? And I ask almost all my new guys that I talk to, I ask them this. Do you have a plan do you plan to play as long as you can? Do you look at it year to year? Do you have a timeline? Like, if I don't get to level so-and-so by the time I'm so-and-so old, you know, maybe it'll be time for me to think about going on with something else? Or, you know.
No, I mean, I'm going to play as long as it's fun to me. My mom and my dad and people that I've been around, they've always told me, I mean, play as long as it's fun. And the day that it's not fun anymore is the day that it's time to hang it up. And I don't see it not being fun for a long time.
Well, it sounds like a great attitude. And Tucker, that's all we've got for today. And I wanted to thank you for your time. And I know you're getting ready for a ball game tonight. And we want to again welcome you to being one of our spotlight guys here on Red Leg Nation. I hope that we can talk again soon. And we want to wish you...
Absolutely, Bill.
And
thank you very much.
And we want to wish you every success this year in Dayton, hopefully beyond. And we'll talk again soon, all right?
Bill, thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate everything. Thank you, guys.
All righty, then.